All right. Thank you, Lisa. Great song. Amen. I was just sitting there thinking about that song and thinking about if he carried the weight of the world up on his shoulders, I know he will take care of you and me. Amen. And that's one of the reasons that we ought to gather and assemble in his name, both on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He loved us so much. Tonight, I want us to look at a passage in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul's heart desire, his heart's desire, more than anything in all of life, his heart's desire was to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the driving force behind Paul's life from the moment that the blinding light came to him on the Damascus Road and a voice from heaven called out to him. And Paul, who became Paul, Saul of Tarsus, the one who had persecuted the Christians for their faith, those that he had thrown into prison because of their faith, those that he consented to their death, such as Stephen and many others. Once he met Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul's driving force was to win souls to Jesus. I've entitled this, Some Soul for Thee. Some soul for thee, let this be my burden plea. Let me each day on life's highway win some soul for thee. Tonight, I want you to know the flame that burned deep within the heart of the Apostle Paul is found in the book of Romans chapter 10. Notice in verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." That they may be saved. Notice my heart's desire. He expresses that. That's what made Paul tick in life. That was his greatest passion. That was his greatest desire. The Apostle Paul's heart's desire wasn't to be famous. It wasn't to be wealthy. It wasn't to be admired and respected among people. His heart's desire was not in the realm of sports activities, but his heart's desire was to not have the accolades of men, but to pray to God that his fellowmen, the Israelites, that they would come to a saving knowledge of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 2 and 3 of Romans chapter 10, as he writes to the Roman Christians, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Let me tell you tonight, among Southern Baptists, the most evangelical, the most evangelistic, the most aggressive, the most compassionate, the most consecrated, the most well-trained people on earth today, as far as soul winning and witnessing is concerned, did you realize that it takes 40 Southern Baptists to win one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? 40 Southern Baptists to win one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus went back to heaven, as he stood there on the mountain making his ascension, he looked down at those disciples and he said that they were to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission that we were to win and disciple and to baptize this world, all of this globe, and those early believers filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, those people went out and they changed their world for Jesus. I was just thinking this week, no wonder Jesus said that when he comes again, will he find little faith on the earth? We spoke about faith this morning, a genuine faith, having a faith that others can look at and know there's been a transformation, and that we're not trying to be politically correct. We're not trying to be conformed to this world, but we're trying to be biblically correct. Let me tell you, those disciples, from when he called two or three, and then up to 12, and then 120 followers, and then on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added to the body of Christ and to this present time tonight that you and I are living in the 21st century. There are some 2.8 billion professing Christians. 2.8 billion professing Christians. Now, you know, how many of them are genuinely, truly possessing Christians? I have no idea. But there are some 2.8 billion people in a world that is filled presently with some 7 to 7.5 billion people, that a third of them profess that they are Christians in the world. And I look at those disciples, those early Christians that had so little and they did so much. And I look at our world today where we have so much and yet we do so little. I don't know about you, but it disturbs me when I realize, have I given of my best to Jesus? Have I done all that He wants me to do? You see, under the power of the Holy Spirit, without any great aids of that day, those early Christians impacted their world in an amazing way through the gospel, and it spread all over the world to where it is tonight. Have you ever pondered just the question, why is it that we don't win more people to Jesus today? I think that there are at least four reasons why many professing Christians fail in the endeavor of carrying out the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus, as well as the Great Commandment, because if we love others as we love ourselves, we would want everybody in the world to know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Let me give you four reasons that I think are some of the reasons why we don't win more people to Jesus. Number one, I think it's because of disobedience. Scripture says, "He that winneth souls is wise." I believe that Jesus believed that witnessing is the task of every born-again child of God. I believe Jesus believed that. I believe that every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every teenager, every member of the choir, the handbells, musicians, singers, the media, those that greet, those that usher, those that walk the parking lot, those that cook in our kitchens, the pastor, the staff. I believe that every one of us have been commanded and commissioned to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. I believe one of the reasons that we don't win more people is we're just not being obedient to the Great Commission. Dr. L.A. Scarborough was once president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he was one of the great teachers of evangelism. And during the days that he was there, evangelism was referred to as the chair of fire. The chair of fire. And I have to ask myself the question, what has happened through the years that we have waned in our desire, in our passion to reach out and win more people? Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, more than anything in all of the world that dominated his thought life, his process, that he would process every day in his life, was to go out and be as zealous for Christianity as he had been during the days of persecution. Paul believed strongly in winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a second reason that we don't win people to Jesus Christ is because of dissipation. I believe a second reason is people just become dissipated. We, in our world that we live in, our passion begins to wane and dissipates because we get so involved in all of the menial tasks of life. We get involved in all of the activities out there in our lives. We get caught up at the workplace. We get caught up in church. We get caught up in activities and doing good things. But so often we fail to do the main thing that Jesus commanded us to do. In that old hymn called Bring Them In, let me share these words. We used to sing this a lot years ago, but of course we moved into an era of the 21st century, and I guess we've outgrown some of these wonderful old songs that says, Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find? Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Out in the desert, hear their cry, out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the master speaks to thee, go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Have we become so dissipated in our passion for Christ that we fail to remember, as Lisa sang so beautifully a few moments ago, if he carried the weight of the world on his shoulder when he went to the cross, as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, as sweat drops of blood profusely fell from his brow, realizing what was ahead of him, realizing that he would be rejected of even the ones that he had called to come alongside of him, to be rejected of his family, to be rejected of many of the people that he had reached out and touched and healed, to be rejected among the Jews as being the Son of God. You see, Jesus commissioned you and me to go out into our world and to share the love of Jesus with a lonely world. There's a song that says, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes, empty people, they're filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through their private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will you and I realize that we must give our lives for people need the Lord? People need the Lord. I want you to just think for a minute. Just sort of go back in your mind. Just sort of drift back to yesteryear. I want you to think about the moment that you got saved tonight. I want you to go back to that time. I want you to go back to that particular place. And now I want you, as you go through the years of your life since that moment that you were transformed by the amazing grace of Almighty God through faith in him, I want to ask you questions. How many people have you led to the Lord? Or how many people have you witnessed to and planted seeds in your lifetime from the moment that you and I got saved? You see, I believe when Jesus ascended into heaven, he paid the ultimate price for our redemption. What more could he ask than to ascend back into the Father, where he sits at the right hand of the second person of the Godhead, the Redeemer, sitting there making intercession tonight for the saints. How much more could he expect out of us when he gave the great commission to go into the world and win people or tell people about Jesus? And tonight I wonder, Jesus has souls for you to win. Jesus has souls for me to win. Jesus has souls for us to tell. Now, we're not obligated whether or not they come to the Lord in saving faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to move within their heart and to bring conviction and conversion. But it's our job to go tell them what great things he has done for me. I wonder, in a world that has changed so rapidly and changes more quickly than you and I can even begin to change, do we have the passion that Paul had after he got saved? Let me tell you, when the Apostle Paul got saved, there was absolutely nothing that would deter him. There was nothing that was going to stand in his way of saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to those that believe, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Let me tell you, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. In the world that we live in today, let me tell you, so often we find ourselves ashamed to share one of the greatest truths of all time. Let me tell you, when Paul realized what his life was before the Damascus Road experience to where his life would be in the future, his great heart's desire, more than anything in all the world, Paul realized it was serious business with God. Paul realized that someday he would stand in the presence of the great I Am. Paul realized that he would stand someday and give an account for the years that he had lived since he met Christ. And what he wanted to do was impact his world for Jesus Christ. Paul never gave up. Let me tell you, whether he was in prison, he was witnessing to people in prison. If he was out on the streets, they could not shut him up. He loved Jesus so much that it was more important than anything in all of life, because the greatest decision in life, eternity, hangs in the balances. I could not help to think today, according to statistics, some 150 to 250,000 people worldwide today, every single day of the world, somewhere in the vicinity of 150,000 plus people go out of this world. They go somewhere. They either go into the presence of Almighty God, or else their soul is waiting to be confined someday in a place of eternity called hell. If they're lost, when they leave this life, they're in a place of torment, awaiting that day when their soul will be consigned to eternal damnation and separation and darkness for all eternity. No wonder Paul realized the gravity of reaching out into his world and sharing and doing the great commandment. I think one of the greatest things that has gone awry in our churches in America today is that we have become so commodious, we have become so comfortable, that we have failed to realize, because Satan deceives us and dupes us, and we fail to realize the importance of the price that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. Let me tell you, the least that you and I can do for him is to carry out the Great Commission and to carry out the Great Commandment. I think there's a third reason why we don't see as much soul winning today, and I think it's because of deception. I mean by that there are many wonderful things that go on in the life of a church, many good things. But let me tell you, doing Christian work doesn't mean that we are winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, soul winning is God's specific plan for this world. Let me tell you, you and I, every day, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Lord, help me today to be able to plant in someone's life the love of Jesus Christ week after week, day after day. You and I are commanded. We are commissioned to tell people about Jesus. But let me tell you, the devil is the great master deceiver. He desires nothing more than to bring deception into our world. And in this ever-changing life that you and I are living in, I'm convinced that the church, if the church is going to be the church that Jesus said upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me tell you, if you and I are going to be a part of the church, I believe it's time that the church gets back to soul winning for Jesus. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Let me tell you, back to the heart of evangelism, back to the heart of worship. The devil loves to blind us to the great commission and the great commandment. For we truly, when we are truly obedient to God's word, then we'll be out there telling somebody about Jesus, inviting somebody to come to church, inviting somebody to hear the word of God. It matters not how smoothly the church operates, but what matters is, are we out there? Are we a presence out there in this community sharing the love of Jesus with a lonely world? It matters not if everyone is happy. If the church is not winning souls to Jesus, then we are failing in our endeavor to carry out the great commission that Jesus asked us to carry out. Don't let the devil deceive you and me from doing what God has commissioned us to do. Fourth and lastly, let me share another reason I believe that we don't win more souls or share with more souls. I think it's because of a lack of desire. I think that we don't have the passion. We don't have the desire that we need. Tonight, if tonight you and I could just get a glimpse of where lost souls are tonight, in a place of torment, if you and I could just see into that realm of where those souls are tonight, I can promise you that you and I would leave this place tonight, and we would even go tonight and share Jesus with someone. We've lost that visual passion to realize how much it's important. Paul made no bones about it. In Romans 10 verse 1, he had a magnificent obsession. It meant all to him. It was a consuming fire that burned deeply and brightly in his heart and life. Brethren, my heart's desire. Let me ask you a question. Pastor, what is your heart's desire? What is your heart's desire tonight? Is your heart's desire thinking about that next ball game you're going to? Is your passion thinking about that next material object that you're going to buy out there? Is your passion just to live it up in the world? Or is your heart's desire, Lord, lead me to some soul today? You see, Paul, it had consumed his life. It had consumed every part of him. What kind of Paul desire was it that Paul had? Number one, he had a conscientious desire. I want you to notice in Romans 9, verses 1 and 2, I tell the truth to Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Do you see what Paul was saying there? He had such a conscientious desire. He said, when I talk about a burden for souls, when I talk about the fact that there are people that I care for, that I love, that I know are lost, and that are going to hell, when I talk about my desire, Paul says, it's a conscientious desire that's continually on my heart. and it bears me witness. Let me ask you and me tonight, is there a check in your spirit tonight? Is there a conscious conviction in your heart tonight to win people to Jesus? You know, it's easy for us to sing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. It's easy to sing it. Or it's easy to sing, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. It's easy to sing, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Over mountain or land or sea, I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. You know, oftentimes down through the years, Tim, and I'm sure you can attest to this. So many times as even growing up as a teenager, and we would sing those songs in the little church where I grew up in. And I often thought to myself, am I being hypocritical in singing this? Would I really go where he wants me to go? Would I really do what he wants me to do? Will I really help rescue the perishing? Do I truly love to tell the story? You see, sometimes I think when we sing these songs, I think we're just not really being truthful and honest with the Lord. I mean, I think sometimes that our passion is really not in the words that we are singing. If it were, we would see more people come to faith in Christ. Let me tell you, Paul not only had a conscientious desire, but he had a compassionate desire. He had a compassionate desire. Dr. Roland Q. Level wrote in his book on evangelism, Christ's Imperative Commission. He said this. He asked these questions. He said, this will tell you how you feel about lost souls. This will tell you if you have a compassion for people out there. He said, how deeply do you care? How deeply do you care? Secondly, he said, how sincere is my prayer? Thirdly, how much of Christ do I share? And fourthly, how far will I dare? And then Level went on and he said, I say the truth in the Christ, I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Let me ask you the question. Do we have that kind of passion? I want you to think about Moses. As Moses looked at those million and a half Jewish people he was leading through the wilderness. As Moses looked at the nation, they had disobeyed God. And Moses said, oh God, they've sinned the great sin. And oh God, if you will not blot out their transgression, but oh God, if not. And if you go back and read that, Moses didn't finish the sentence. He said, but if not. Moses said, take my name out of the book of life as well. Moses was saying, if the nation can't go to heaven, he was saying, then I don't want to go. He had such a heart passion and a compassion. And even though they had gone astray and disobeyed God, Moses became the great interceding one for the nation of Israel. And he said, oh God, blot out their transgressions. And then he was willing to say, oh God, if you can't do that, then I don't want to go either. That's how much Moses loved the nation of Israel. Jeremiah, as he prayed, oh, that my head were a fountain of water, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people. Jesus himself looked out over the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them, for they fainted and were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, that you and I, oh, that the churches in America today might have a compassionate desire for men and women who are lost without Jesus Christ and on their way to eternity without God in a burning hell. Paul would say, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I have to weep for my people. George Whitfield said, give me souls or take my soul. David Brainerd said, I care not what hardships that I may personally bear as long as I can win men to faith in Christ. John Knox said, give me Scotland or else I die. Henry Martin said, let me burn out in India for God. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul had a conscientious desire. He had a compassionate desire. But let me tell you, he had a consistent desire. I was talking with someone just yesterday who shared with me they had just gotten back from a trip in Europe. And one of the tour guides, as they toured them around and saw the great cathedrals and all of the incredible engineering of the architecture that was there. And someone asked the question, and the person that was sharing with me was saying, the tour guide really didn't want to answer this question that one of the tourists asked. But they said, you have beautiful cathedrals. How many people go to church in these cathedrals anymore? And the tour guide paused, not wanting to answer the question, and said, very, very few. Let me tell you, Europe has changed. Europe is changing. Let me tell you, folks, America is changing. The landscape is changing. Let me tell you, Paul's desire more than anything else was for souls. But let me tell you, not only did he have a conscientious desire and a compassionate desire, he had a consistent desire. He said in verse 2 of Romans 9 that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. How long has it been since you and I have knelt on our knees and cried over lost souls? How long has it been since we've done that? You see, it's easy to get concerned about somebody once in a while, but Paul said this is something that grates on me day and night continually. It's a deep burden. It's a sorrow that compelled him and catapulted him out there in the highways and the hedges. And I think about Jesus in his own ministry. 31 times it's recorded in the Bible that he sought to win individuals, souls to himself. Jesus himself was a soul winner. He won the woman at the well. He won Zacchaeus that day and told him to come down from the sycamore tree. He won Nicodemus. Let me tell you the last thing Jesus thought about as he was dying on the cross. He looked at the thief on the cross and said, today you will be with me in paradise. As Jesus was dying for the sins of the world, he was soul winning on his last moment of life. Let me tell you, Paul didn't only have a conscientious desire and a compassionate desire and a consistent desire, but Paul had a Christ-like desire. Look at Romans 9, verse 3, and I'm through. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Paul, did I hear that right? Paul, did you really say what I think you just said there in that verse? Paul was so controlled by the Holy Spirit's leading that he desired to be a soul winner for Christ, and he was willing. He was willing to be accursed from Christ so that his countrymen could be saved. Paul would say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, it matters not what gifts you and I have. It matters not what our experiences in life are, or how close to God we may think we are. If we're not soul winners for Jesus Christ, then we do not have the same desire that Jesus Christ had for this world. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God,